for the simple reason it is a Monday, it's the final segment of Crunch Time, and we need to get to this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Run away! Run away! Run away!
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it.
It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Dr. Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Time for the Richter Scale, wrapping up, talking about what the weekend that was. I bring up a big news event or item, and Steve rates how big of an impact he had. We begin with the U.S. women's national team that are on to the quarterfinals, taking on Spain this morning. The women struggled against them, but came out with the 2-1 win. Megan Rapinoe scored both penalties that the U.S. earned, one in each half, but the U.S. struggled mightily. The passing in the final attacking third of the pitch was poor, with the U.S. either passing through the wrong lane or passing behind each other, slowing down the attack. On top of that poor passing attempt, Spain parked the bus, and the U.S. could not break that defense wall. The U.S. also conceded their first goal of the tournament, which has been by far their toughest match. The USA take us on host France Friday. France team that will not only have the home crowd on their side, but they just took down perennial contenders Brazil in a 2-1 win in extra time. How worried should Team USA be about taking on France?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
That's how this works, Steve.
I think it's a really even game, which means they better be 10 worried. If you got an advantage, I think it's, we'll hear a cut later. One of the analysts made a good point. With France, it comes down to, do they crumble under the pressure, or do they ride the wave of having home pitch edge?
Ooh, very interesting. Some interesting college news breaking this weekend as UConn announced they would be leaving the AAC and heading back to the Big East. UConn won the national championship in 2014, their first full season in the AAC, but that was a team that was built mainly for the Big East. And since then, they've made the tournament only once and haven't been ranked higher than 17, never once ending the season in the top 25. Come 2021, UConn will be competing against Villanova, Marquette, Georgetown, and the rest of the Big East, which should certainly bring back some of that conference's credibility. And for football, UConn, it's not looking so good. Never has been, and looking less likely for the future. Huskies have made only 5 bowl games while in the Big East, and their best season since joining the AAC was a 6-win season that ended with a loss in the St. Petersburg Bowl.
Ugh.
UConn asked to stay in the AAC for football. Man, that conference needs a new name. But that request was turned down, so UConn's not sure if they're going to actually play football in the Big East or go somewhere else. How big of an impact will UConn heading back to the Big East have?
You know, the weird thing is, once they had all that success in basketball, they really made a move to upgrade. What's it called? Rentschler Field was supposed to be, you know, attractive for recruits, and they were going to become a football power, and no. And there is no Big East football. So how much of an impact are they going to have as far as becoming a basketball program back in the Big East? Hey, they're a good basketball program, but because of how they've slipped, will they be able to get it back? I'm tentative with a 4.
I looked it up on Pro Football Reference. There have been a surprising number of UConn players drafted since, I think, like 2005-ish, when they returned from being independence backed into the Big East. So more guys have gotten drafted out of UConn than I thought, but it's still not very good. Whoa. My mic is running away from me. The evil, rotten, no good, horrible Los Angeles Dodgers are winning in ways that have never been seen before. LA came into the weekend with a 10-game lead over the Rockies and ended it with a 13-game lead over the Rockies, thanks to 3 consecutive walk-offs, 2 of which were by rookies. One of those rookies, Matt Beaty, which is very much a fake name, hit a 2-run walk-off Friday night. Alex Verdugo, a walk-off home run Saturday in the 11th. And then Will Smith, no, not that one, and no, not the one that was on the Giants, hit a 3-run walk-off that scored who else? Matt Beaty, the fake guy, was the winning run in that game. Time truly is a flat circle. Add it all up, and it's 1,142 feet of walk-off homers, two rookies, and a 13-game lead in the NL West. The Giants, as horrible as they are 6 games back of second place. How impressive of a sweep was this by LA?
Well, first of all, the third Will Smith, I think technically he is a rookie.
Yes.
I think it was rookie, walk-off, walk-off, walk-off.
No, Alex Verdugo is not a rookie.
Are you sure he doesn't qualify?
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I remember just reading that it was two of the three guys were rookies.
All right. I thought by the numbers we might have had three in a row. Because he played a second year. I think you're right.
Woo.
But by the way, he had two homers coming in. He had two in a game. That was earth-shattering. I know there was a lot going on this weekend, but them building a 13-game lead, they're healing up, and they're just walking away. That's a 9.
Yeah, Verdugo's playing in his third season now with the Dodgers.
Ha! Yeah, but remember, the first year with 23 at-bats doesn't qualify.
Okay, close enough. Whatever. Third season. The NHL draft was this weekend, and with free agency just around the corner, it was a big opportunity for NHL teams to make some trades as all 31 GMs were in the same building together, and that's pretty much what happened. The Maple Leafs traded away Patrick Marleau to the Carolina Bunch of Jerks Hurricanes, JT Miller from the Lightning to the Canucks, and PK Subban from the Nashville Predators to the hated New Jersey Devils. New Jersey will now have a top-line defender, all-star forward, and their number one pick, Jack Hughes, could be in the NHL as soon as this year. All of those three trades were big and given for some teams in terms of salary cap relief, which incidentally came in $2.5 million lower than expected. Thank you, Mr. Bettman. It was announced after the draft begun and just 7 days before free agency. Great work, Mr. Bettman. May you never be able to do anything in your life without being booed endlessly. How big of an impact will these trades have, as well as the lower salary cap, have on the NHL?
Well, the problem is Subban goes to a Devils team rebuilding. So for this year, I don't know that these are going to have that big of an impact. I almost wish I could crunch time it and say, pending, I'd like to see a half season. So I'm going to split the difference and call it a 5.